Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to CNBC. This indeed is a fun Sunday. We get to celebrate what the Lord is going to do this week in our Vacation Bible School ministry, and we're excited to have the opportunity to share the gospel and in both evangelism and discipleship with those that the Lord brings to the church building this week. And so thank you to all the volunteers, for all of those who have worked hard to pull all the details together for what the Lord will do this week. We look forward to it, and we can't wait. So we hope you will be around to participate with us this week in some measure as well. Last week, we started at the beginning of our summer series. We observed and we rehearsed together a familiar but very important truth. From the beginning, Jesus is faithful. Amen? Man, that is our faithful God. He does not simply hold the universe together from a distance, but he comes near to us. He provides for us and he stays with us. But in what way is God near to us? How can we think about the presence of Jesus with us today? Psalm 23 begins with words of confession and comfort. The Lord is my shepherd. Not just the shepherd, not only Israel's shepherd, not just a divine caretaker who resides somewhere up in the clouds. It's personal. It was personal to King David, the author of Psalm 23. It was personal to Jesus, as we will soon witness in his own words. And it's personal for all of us today. In Psalm 23, we're invited to sit with David, the king, the one who once cared for his father's sheep in the wilderness, who is now reaching for that most tender and personal image, the one of a shepherd. Why does it mean so much to us? Why has this psalm been such a source of comfort to us over the years? Why is it recited so often when we're in some of the most difficult and uncomfortable places in our lives? Sheep are vulnerable. They wander. They need guidance. They need food, water, protection, restoration, and a shepherd who will not abandon them when danger arrives. David is saying, "This is who the Lord is to me. He is my shepherd." And then in John 10, Jesus does something remarkable. He takes this ancient psalm from Psalm 23 and he places its truth on himself. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says these words, "I am the good shepherd." And so here is Jesus. He's identifying himself as the Lord who shepherds his people. He's not only sent by the shepherd, he's not only teaching about the shepherd, he is the shepherd who has come near in flesh and blood. And so, as sheep who are prone to wander, we approach the familiar and comforting text of Psalm 23 and John 10 with this question to guide us today. How does Jesus, as our good shepherd, lead, provide for, and stay with us all the days of our lives? If you have your version of the scripture, turn now to Psalm chapter 23, and once you're there, would you stand with me as we pray and read the scriptures this morning? Psalm 23, a familiar scripture. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we recognize indeed you are our good shepherd. And yes, these words, they're familiar to us. Many of us have these words memorized. But Lord, we would ask today that you would not allow our familiarity with these words to distract us. We need these words. We need to be reminded, Lord, in so many ways every single day that you are our good shepherd. That it is your desire to lead for us, that you provide for us, and that you will never leave us. How comforting, how true, how important. Lord, we journey into this text today with new eyes, fresh eyes, hearts and minds that are wanting and willing to learn, expecting that you're going through the power of your Holy Spirit to form us and shape us and grow us through this time so that we can leave this space changed and transformed in a way that will help us to make a difference in the paths that you take us along this week. We want to give you the glory and the honor as you work in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have the English Standard Version this morning and you would like to, I would invite you, you're welcome to silently, quietly, not silently, couldn't do it silently, but if you'd like to quietly read along as we read the text today, we're going to be reading it from the English Standard Version, and you're welcome to share in the reading with me today if you'd like. This is Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. When David says these words, he's not describing a life that is without hardship. He is describing a life that is under the care of an all-sufficient shepherd. I shall not want means that if the Lord is my shepherd, my life is not abandoned to scarcity or lack, that I have not been left here to fend for myself. Again, it connects to Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verse 10, where he says this, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Church, abundance with Jesus, it's not excessive. It is his faithful and constant supply as we live our lives under his care. David works this out as he moves through the song into verse 2. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. There's a tenderness here. The shepherd is not driving his sheep harshly or mindlessly. He knows where the best and the greenest and most nourishing of pastures are. He knows where the waters are still and safe. What do we know about sheep? Sheep will not lie down if they are afraid, or if they feel threatened, or if they're hungry, or if they're restless. So when David says, he makes me lie down. The word makes, it's not a word that connotes force. It's care. It's care. The shepherd has created the conditions that are needed for his sheep to be able to rest. One of the core ingredients that David has baked into this whole psalm Mitch prayed this morning is that Psalm 23 is a psalm of dependence. Sheep are dependent on the care of the shepherd. And friends, this is a wildly countercultural concept in our world today to admit that we're dependent. to acknowledge our need and our dependence. We have been trained so largely in our culture today to be our own shepherds. Yes? We're taught, we're even encouraged to build our own identities, to create our own images of ourselves, to manage our own anxiety, to secure our own future, to heal our own wounds, to somehow find a way to optimize our lives. And the gospel, the good news of Psalm 23 is that we do not have to shepherd ourselves. Jesus, in John 10, he pressed even deeper into the same truth. His sheep live because they know and respond to the shepherd's voice. Friends, this Christian faith that we live, our Christian faith, it's not self-shepherding that's propped up with some form of self-promoting religious vocabulary. That's not what we're doing here. That's not what this is. Our Christian life is a lifelong lesson, all of our lives, a lifelong lesson in learning and recognizing and following the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus. And the shepherding imagery, it's carried throughout the whole story of the scriptures. Even in Genesis, Jacob called God the one who had shepherded him his whole life. God shepherded Israel as they went through the wilderness. Moses, he prayed for a leader so that the people would not be like a sheep without a shepherd. Then the prophets came. And when the prophets in the Old Testament came, they rebuked Israel's leaders for failing to shepherd the people with justice and mercy. One of the most important backgrounds in Jesus' words from John 10 is actually found in Ezekiel chapter 34, where God condemns Israel's false shepherds for feeding themselves instead of the flock. In Ezekiel chapter 34, 16 to 18, God makes a promise. He says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. So, come back into John 10, when Jesus says these words, I am the good shepherd. He's not speaking in isolation. He is announcing that God's promised shepherd is here. He's arrived. And as the good shepherd, this is what Jesus is doing. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he sees the crowds. And when he sees them, the text says he sees them as harassed and helpless, like what? Sheep without a shepherd. He's seeing Israel through the lens of the prophet's words. And he's seeing them, and he's moving towards them in the text with compassion. Jesus says that the sheep, his sheep, hear his voice. This is how the good shepherd leads us, church. The good shepherd leads us by his voice. Not by manipulation, not by stirring and creating panic, not by heaping on shame. His voice calls out. It calls us away from danger, away from certain death, and towards life. And a practical question that we may get a bit curious about together this morning is, whose voice is actually leading me? Whose voice? There's a lot of voices in the world today. Yes, a lot. A lot of voices. And there is a stark contrast between the voice of Jesus, who is our true and good shepherd, and the voice of Satan, who happens to be our accuser. The accuser says, protect yourself, hide, prove yourself to be worthy. Jesus' invitation is so much better. It's far more life-giving, far more sustaining Listen, follow me. Follow me. How about this one? Come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit. Are not those the words of a good shepherd? He gives us his voice. He gives us his word. He gives us his steadfast presence. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us the church. He gives us the light that we need to take the next faithful step. As our good shepherd, Jesus leads us well. And this is where Psalm 23 moves us forward. The shepherd who leads us to rest also leads us into a place in the text called righteousness. His care is not only comfort, that's important, but his care is also direction, guidance for our lives. And as David is drawing his lyrics here, his movement takes us right into verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, let's not check out, because righteousness, it can sound like a very heavy churchy word. We hear it a lot. And probably many of us have grown up with it, and maybe we've never paused to think about, what does that mean? In Psalm 23, the image, it's very practical. Where is the shepherd leading the sheep? On the right paths, the true paths, the life-giving paths. Righteousness means life rightly ordered under God. The way of God's goodness, the way of God's wisdom, the way of God's character. It's not about comfort, it's about goodness. Jesus cares about the direction of our lives. He cares about our character, our desires, our relationships. He cares about the habits that are part of our daily lives. He cares about the things that are influencing and shaping our hearts. What's influencing and shaping our hearts and minds today? Jesus, our good shepherd, cares about those things. And church, we know this, that the righteous paths, they're not always the easy paths. They're not always the comfortable paths, but they are always the paths that lead to life. And David says that when the shepherd is doing this, when he's leading me, leading us in the paths of righteousness, he's doing so for what? For his name's sake. In other words, God's reputation, his character, his covenant love, his glory, they're bound up with his faithfulness as the shepherd. He leads us well because he is good. And when his sheep follow and remain on his path, his name is honored, and he receives the praise and glory that already belongs to him. For his name's sake. Now, church, we understand it's when it's bright out and it's a beautiful day like today and the sun's up, it's easy to stay on a path when the light is shining and the pathway is clear. But what happens when darkness overwhelms us and the bright path that we were once enjoying now all of a sudden begins to feel dark and cloudy? When the certainty of the light begins to feel overcome by the uncertainty of darkness. As David continues, the psalm shifts. He is going to take us down a path that all of us have to go and none of us want to. What does the good shepherd's faithfulness look like when we are on this path? What does faithfulness look like for us in the valley of the shadow of death? Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David doesn't say, not if I walk through this valley. He says, even though I walk through it. In John 10, Jesus gives this valley an even sharper edge. Jesus says that sometimes the wolf comes. Jesus does not pretend that danger is imaginary. He names it. He faced it. He refuses to run. Friends, the valley of the shadow of death, it will challenge shallow faith. Let me say that again. The valley of the shadow of death will challenge shallow faith. We might sometimes assume that if God is leading us, then life should always feel green and still. And sometimes the shepherd's path leads us through grief, loss, financial strain, waiting, fractured relationships, aging, seasons where God feels as though he's absent or silent. Many of us have been there. Most of us know the valley of the shadow of death. But take notice of what David does in this valley. David stops speaking about God here, and he begins speaking to God. Did you notice that? Before the valley in Psalm 23, David says, he makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. Now we go into the valley of the shadow of death. And now while in the valley, David says, I will fear no evil for what? For you. Did you catch that shift? The valley has turned David's theology into prayer. In the valley, Psalms 23 shifts from he to you. In the valley, God is no longer just the subject of David's confession, but in the valley of the shadow of death, God is now the one who David is addressing in prayer. The valley is the place where David comes to learn that the shepherd is not only ahead of him, leading the way, but the shepherd is also right beside him in the dark. He's there in the darkest and deepest places that we could go. But how do we know this? Can we feel it? Can we sense it? David continues to unravel his song. Verse 4 presents us with the ways that the shepherd's comfort is received, especially within our deepest and darkest valleys. Look at the end of verse 4, the very last line. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were tools of the shepherd's care. The rod protected the flock from threat. The staff guided and rescued sheep from danger. In John 10, Jesus reminded his sheep that even though the wolf may come, no one can or will snatch the sheep from Jesus' strong and gentle hands. In Psalm 23, the image is of the shepherd armed with a rod and a staff. And Jesus, in John 10, says the sheep are held safe in the good and tender care of the shepherd's hands. Church, this is great comfort for us in the valleys. Our shepherd is present and attentive. He's strong enough to protect. He's gentle enough to guide. His rod tells us that we are not without a defender. And his staff tells us that we are never unreachable by him. With Jesus, this is sure. I am the good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is like any other shepherd. He protects his sheep by giving his own life so that we might live. This is where Jesus both fulfills and surpasses the shepherd of Psalm 23. David says that the shepherd walks with him through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus, our good shepherd, faced and walked into death itself for the good of his sheep. It's at the very heart of the gospel that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We are needy and sin-rich sheep who have wandered from God. The prophet Isaiah said it this way. He says, all we like sheep have done what? Gone astray. Yeah. And Jesus does not abandon wayward sheep. He comes for us. In one illustration in the New Testament, he leaves the 99 to go find the one. He carries our sin. He takes the judgment that we deserve. He lays down his life. He takes it up again. This is not sentimental love. It's sacrificial. Sacrificial. Jesus entered danger. He conquered the enemies of sin and death. He rescued those lost sheep. And he will be faithful to bring us home. And church, this means we can bring our needs honestly to him. Our neediness is not failure. For us to say that we are sheep in need, for us to say that we are a people who are dependent on Jesus, who need him all the time, every hour, every minute of every day, this is not failure. Recognizing that we our sheep with great need is the place that we learn of the shepherd's perfect care and provision. He provides forgiveness for sin. He gives rest to the weary. He gives us strength for obedience. He gives us wisdom for decisions, mercy in the valleys, and ultimately, he gives us himself. He's our perfect provider. And if the cross has revealed to us the depth of his provision, the conclusion of Psalm 23 reveals to us the durability and the reliability of his presence. He will not leave. He will not leave. He is a shepherd who leads, he provides, and then he stays. He stays. So Psalm 23 begins with a pasture. And it ends where? At a table. Anybody like farm-to-table restaurants? This is our farm-to-table psalm. Psalm 23. I thought they were all farm-to-table restaurants, by the way. But apparently there's some restaurants where the food that you eat doesn't come from a farm. I don't know where it comes from. You can ask the people that make it for you. Here we are at the end. And at the table, the shepherd becomes the host. And the sheep who were led and restored and protected, now we are welcomed and honored and we're fed. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me. And guess where? In the presence of my enemies. It's kind of like that scene in the resurrection where like the stone rolls away and the angel sits on top of it like, boom. Yeah, God did that. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is not the image of escape from enemies. The image is of fellowship and rejoicing in their presence. Hello? God is good. And life with him is better than life over there. And while we gather at this banqueting table, there's something else, right? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Symbol of oil in the Old Testament, abundance, joy. It was used as a blessing for healing and honor and welcome. And David sees the good shepherd at this table lavishly supplying and caring for those whom he's prepared this table for. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow, or the better word in Hebrew is pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. That's what that word in Hebrew carries the force of. It carries the force of pursuit. Usually in the Old Testament, who was pursuing God's people? Enemies. But here, mercy pursues us. We sing that in that modern song, your goodness is running after me. It's drawn right out of Psalm 23, right out of the Hebrew. David says that the shepherd's covenant love chases his sheep all the way home. And then he brings us to this everlasting end of the good shepherd's path. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Isn't that beautiful? The good shepherd is faithful to guide his sheep home. We will be with him forever. No longer knowing or feeling loneliness in any way. In John 10, when Jesus says, I know my own and my own know me. And in Psalm 23, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd. We are known by God. We are known by the good shepherd. Jesus calls his sheep my own. With Jesus, our belonging runs in both directions. We sing it like this sometimes today. We know this song and sometimes we sing it. Right? The lyrics, if it comes up. No, doesn't. Oh, there it is. We know this one. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. How comforting. Jesus knows his sheep. He knows our stories. He knows our wounds. He knows the temptations that we face. He knows our fears. He knows our wonderings. He knows the wordless prayers where we don't even have words to pray. He knows exactly how to perfectly restore our souls. His presence is the key. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He will never abandon us. He has called us his own. We belong to him. And he cares so deeply that there's nothing that can drive him away. Nothing. The difference between the hired hand and the good shepherd, it's not technical. It's in ownership and love. The hired hand looks at danger and says, those aren't my sheep. I'm out. That's the hired hand. Jesus says, those are mine. We are his. And there is no valley dark enough. There is no faith weak enough. There are no wolves ferocious enough to make Jesus run. He will not do it. And here's a beautiful thing. Our Jesus who stays, he has other sheep that he must also bring. He is gathering one flock under one shepherd. And so this truth that is personal, it is also not private. The same shepherd that cares so well for us is still gathering wandering sheep into his flock today. Yes? Yes. And church, we are not the good shepherd, but we are witnesses to him. So we move toward those who feel unseen. We make room at the table. We speak the words of Christ through our presence and our prayers, through hospitality and patience and love. We are not the savior of the lonely.
We are not the shepherd of the sheep, but we are witnesses to the one who is faithful to lead and provide and stay and gather his people home. And so we have Psalm 23. This is what the shepherd does. And we have John 10. This is who the good shepherd is. And because Jesus is the good shepherd of Psalm 23, we can trust his voice. We can rest in his provision. We can walk with him through the valley and follow him all the way home. He is not careless with his sheep. He's not confused about the path that we are on. He's not frightened by the valley that we're in. He's not threatened by the enemies that we face. He's not stingy at the table. And he is certainly not uncertain about our destination. Our good shepherd comes near. He leads us by his voice. He provides for us in the pasture, the paths, the valleys, and at the cross. He stays with us. He knows us. He gathers us. And he brings us safely home. From green pastures to dark valleys, from the table to the Father's house, from the cross to the empty tomb, Jesus reveals the glory and the goodness of the shepherd's heart. He cares for us. You are our good shepherd. And we, like sheep, so often go astray. Like sheep, Lord, we so often do not trust these words. We go after the things of this world. While you're pursuing us, we're pursuing all kinds of other things. And your goodness keeps coming. And we keep getting distracted. And so, Lord, we need these familiar words. We need these familiar truths to bring us back, to remind us, to encourage our hearts, to renew our minds, to make our spirit steadfast, because we're going to go out on paths as we leave this building this week. And in the course of our lives this week, all the things that David's talked about in Psalm 23 could be coming in and out of our lives. And we need to remember that you are our good shepherd. And that you are perfectly faithful. And that you've promised to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to provide for us, and to stay. And so now, Lord, we ask you to help us to trust it and to live as though we believe it is true, with all of our hearts and all of our minds. Help us to honor you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.